Companies to Watch.
We're taking a look at some interesting trading ideas on Companies to Watch with me, Ryan Huang. And we're putting a spotlight on luxury watches and how investors can make money from this in the stock market. Well, today we are speaking with Tay Jin Hao. He is fund manager at the Heritage Global Capital Fund. Morning, Jin Hao.
Morning, Ryan.
So we're talking about luxury watches today, and I noticed you're actually not wearing a watch at all, and you're not even a fan of luxury watches, but you see an investment opportunity.
I think one of the interesting things about investing is that even if you're not interested in luxury watches, you look at the profit margins, you look at the prices that watches command, that always intrigued me, because my question is, if luxury watches can command that kind of prices, who are the people actually behind it? Who are the people selling it? And that's when, from an investment point of view, it makes sense to me.
All right. Personally, so, you're not keen on the markup, but
yeah,
you see...
I'm more of a value investor. I don't see the value there, but I can understand and appreciate why people would like to see the value there. And that translates into some incredible profit margins for businesses involved in luxury watches.
Help us walk through the industry. How has it been doing?
I think 2014, 2015 has really been a tough time for the watch industry in general. There was overcapacity. There were expansion plans that didn't really peter out the way they thought. And to be honest, even in 2011, 2012, 2013, a lot of the boom in the luxury watch sector was driven by corruption. So when you had the anti-corruption clampdown in China, Hong Kong was severely impacted. Singapore, to a certain extent, not as bad as the Hong Kong retailers. So really, the industry has just been really going through a tough patch. Towards the end of 2017, however, things started to bottom out. And actually in 2018, the luxury watch sector is actually improving quite a lot already.
There are some signs actually. I think so far this year, according to Swiss watch exports, things are picking up.
They are picking up dramatically. And one interesting thing which is happening is that if you look at China, exports to China are actually increasing double that of Hong Kong and Singapore. And you have a very different clientele coming up. Once upon a time, it might have been used for corruption, but today you actually have more discerning consumers coming out. And that's really driven by the rise of the middle-income consumer in China.
All right, I'm not a very watch person. So the watch I grew up with was actually Swatch. Is this the best proxy to look at?
So one of the interesting things is that Swatch is actually listed in Switzerland. Not so many Singaporeans look at it just because of the virtue that it's listed in Switzerland, but it's a great proxy. Swatch actually owns brands from the entry range, Swatch obviously. They own the middle range brands like Tissot, and they own the high-end brands like Harry Winston, Omega. And obviously, there's always going to be a certain time lag, but there's a huge correlation between your luxury watch retailers like the Hourglass and Swatch. So Swatch is actually a very good proxy. It's up almost 50% from the lows in 2016, and has really risen first, whereas if you look at Hourglass, it's still really lagged behind.
All right, you own the Heritage, or you manage the Heritage Global Capital Fund. What are you looking out for? I think in terms of stocks in Singapore, is there anything that you think you can pick up?
So a company which I think is really understated, doesn't get enough credit, is actually the Hourglass. Dr. Henry Tay founded the company in 1979, one store. Today, they had about 40-plus stores, market cap about $500 million. And this is a company which we have owned on and off. And the reason why we've owned it for a long time is that prices haven't really come down that much.
So this is that company that owns brands like Omega, Mont Blanc?
They retail it in Singapore.
So what's been the story? Why have you been buying and selling it?
I think, so previously when we owned it, you were coming off the Eurozone crisis, prices were relatively cheap. But as the luxury market picked up, they were expanding quite well, prices reflected that. But the last 1-2 years has been hard for Hourglass. At the same time, though, if you look at the quality of management, they tend to allocate capital in a down cycle. They're coming off the end of the expansion cycle. And if you look at 2016, they opened about 6 new stores. They spent about $36 million on capital expenditures and building up their inventory. So their free cash flow numbers weren't looking so good, only about $10 million. If you look at 2017, however, they've already stated that their goal is to improve free cash flow generation, to improve inventory turnover, and they actually increased free cash flow generation by about 450%. So in 2017, they actually generated close to $50+ million of free cash flow. And eventually, this cash should be distributed to shareholders because they're no longer embarking on expansion plan like they were the last 5 years.
Okay, so you've got good cash flow fundamentals. And I'm looking at the stock price, 69 cents in mid-March. That's about where we are now, 63 cents, 10% down. So you're looking to buy on the dips any moment?
So we are looking at it very hot. We haven't taken a position yet, but it's more and more likely as the prices come down, and it's fallen about 25 to 30% off the highs, which you saw maybe 2014, 2015.
Okay, besides Hourglass, anything in maybe Hong Kong?
So, interesting company which a lot of listeners may have seen is actually Emperor Watch. They're based out of Hong Kong, Macau, but they're actually expanding even in Singapore today. And I think Hong Kong is a very, very different market from Singapore. There's a bigger exposure to the Chinese consumer, bigger market, you may think, better prospects. The problem is that Hong Kong has been at the heart of overcapacity of luxury watches in the world. That's where the epicenter of the problem has been. And so, at one point of time, our Emperor Watch was actually trading at 30 to 40% of book value, whereas the Hourglass are always traded about 1x book value. The reason why we see value there is that now the luxury watch retailers are actually having, they're in a good position. Rents are coming down 10 to 20% in core locations like Tsim Sha Tsui and Causeway Bay, whereas the market is actually starting to pick up. So they're in a good place, good time, and they have extremely cheap valuations, and it provides the runway for a good revaluation in the future.
So actually, Hong Kong watches are cheaper because of all these reasons.
Yeah, and actually, from a watch point of view, a lot of people don't realize, but you actually can do a lot of arbitrage in where you buy a watch. A Hong Kong watch is generally 5 to 10% cheaper in Singapore. And if you buy a watch in China, it can be up to 20% more expensive than Hong Kong. So there's actually a lot of arbitrage. And that's why generally people like to buy watches in Hong Kong.
All right, thank you, Jin Hao. We've been talking about Swatch, Hourglass, and Emperor Watch as possible proxies to that luxury watch market uptrend. Thank you, Jin Hao. He's fund manager at Heritage Global Fund on companies to watch.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.